In the first century BC, years before Jesus, just decades maybe before Jesus was born, there was a drought in the land of Israel. And there was a man named Honi who decided to take it to prayer. And what Honi did was Honi stood, he drew a circle around him. He took his staff and he used it to make a circle around him. And then he bent down and he lifted his hands toward heaven and he prayed, "Lord of the universe, I swear before your great name that I will not move from this circle until you have shown mercy upon your children." And then it started to drizzle. There was a crowd that had gathered around Honi, and so they were starting to get excited. But Honi wasn't satisfied with that, so he stayed in his circle, lifted his hands toward heaven, and said, "Not for such rain have I prayed, but for rain that will fill cisterns, pits, and caverns." And then rain, there was a torrential downpour, and it was a little much. It was like there was dangers of mudslides and all kinds of things. And Honi didn't give up there. He wanted to refine his prayer a little bit more. And he said, "Not for such rain have I prayed, but for the rain of thy favor, blessing, and graciousness." And then it was a steady rain, and the drought was over, and everybody lived happily ever after, right? Now, Roger already alluded to this story, and I'll have to say, kind of coming in here, there are elements of this story that make me feel uncomfortable. One of the parts of it is that it almost sounds like Honi is telling God what to do. And I think sometimes if we have this attitude where we can tell God what to do, we get it backwards, you know? So it's like, is he kind of crossing a line there? And there was an investigation into him too, because they were worried about that as well. So there's part of me like, we got to be careful with that. I was reading in the Archaeological Study Bible this past week in the book of Isaiah. And in Isaiah 58, it was commenting, and there were some complaints, and it pointed out, because there were complaints about prayer and fasting that the people of Israel were doing, which you wouldn't think God would do that. But it said this. This was my note. The Israelites were going through the motions of religion, specifically fasting. And fasting is usually, it's giving up something. A lot of times it's giving up food or giving up something else maybe to be devoted to prayer. So they were doing that. Jesus affirmed fasting. It can be a really great thing. But the Israelites were doing it for the same reason the pagans participated in their rituals, in an attempt to manipulate God to act in their favor. So there's a part of me that feels a little cautious, because we can't manipulate God. You know, we can't tell God what to do. God, help me win the lottery, or, you know, whatever. God, help help the Colts win the Super Bowl. You know, like, we can't just tell God to do like that. And then the other part of my tension comes because this story is not in Scripture. It's in a book called the Talmud, and there are two different Talmuds. One of them is the Jerusalem Talmud. One of them is the Babylonian. And in both Talmuds, tell the story of Honi the circle maker. Sometimes the details are a little different, or the spelling of the name or pronunciation of the name is different. But it's in there. What is the Talmud, you might be thinking? Or maybe you've already checked out, I don't know. But it is a collection of Jewish rabbis have been writing through the centuries. Commentary sometimes on scriptures, teachings. And while it can be really interesting to look at it, it's not scripture. It's not the God-breathed scripture. But I think that there can be some use to it. Because we don't follow a bunch of rabbis or all the rabbis. We follow one rabbi, Jesus. So I thought today, instead of just taking the circle maker, the story of Honi and the circle as scripture, that we could look at other scriptures too from the God-breathed word to see what they say about bold prayers. Because the story of Honi the circle maker is a legend. It's in the Talmud. It might be all true, and hopefully it is. But whether or not it's true, I wanted to look at it for my own relief to see what the scriptures say about bold prayers. So we're going to start this morning by looking into what Jesus' brother James wrote about prayer. This is something that he said. "Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. and the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again, he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. So whether or not he prayed and that affected the rain that God sent down, both old, the Hebrew scriptures, and the New Testament scriptures testify and teach us that there was a man, a human being like us named Elijah, whose prayers did impact rain. So there is something to that. And as we keep going, we know, Elijah prayed for drought, and there was a drought. Then he prayed for rain, and rain came. So there we have one story affirmed by the scriptures where it has happened, where God has listened to a human, and it's affected the rainfall. I want to keep looking at a few more things that's written. We've already referenced Hebrews about not giving up meeting together. But we're going to turn now to Hebrews 4:16. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Let us then. What's said just previously before this verse, it's really powerful and really challenges us. As Roger was talking, timid prayers, challenges us to have bold prayers or confidence when we pray. Let us then, what it's talking about is a few verses before that, the writer of Hebrews was talking about how Jesus, the Son of God, is our high priest. And he goes to the Father. We can go straight to Jesus because he's now our high priest. And it talked about how Jesus knows our weaknesses. Said he was tempted in every way just as we are. So he's not only is he the Son of God who's our high priest, but he also can empathize. He knows what it's like to be human. The God in the flesh, Jesus Christ, Son of God, the high priest that we have before God. And because of that, it says we can approach God's throne of grace with confidence. The New Testament, when talking about prayer, seems to teach humility is a big factor, but also confidence. Confidence and humility. The song we did just a little bit earlier reflects this. There's a line, two things you told me, that you are strong and you love me. So those kind of two things reflect a prayer, seeing God as strong and seeing God as loving. But that's kind of the thing that we need to understand as we're coming to prayer, why we can have confidence and humility, because God cares about us and because God is strong. This is not about us being strong, but God. Moving on a little bit more in Hebrews, to Hebrews chapter 11, the writer of Hebrews said, now faith is confidence. There's that word again, confidence in what we hope for, and assurance about what we do not see. Sounds like a bold prayer, that there's some confidence in there about a God who's strong. Not what we see in the mirror, but something stronger than that. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. As we wrestle with this, one of the things that I think is apparent from Hebrews and the New Testament teachings about prayer is that God is honored by our confidence in him. When we say that God is strong, that God, we're not just putting God in a box, but God is actually honored when we believe that he is strong enough to do something. Confident faith honors God. Now I know, like, it's really possible to misuse and manipulate these, these ideas to tell God what to do. But there's a pastor named Andy Stanley who I think has a really good way of praying about it. He says, God, I know you can, and I hope you will. Now, to some people, I hope you will might sound like a cop-out, but I don't think it is, because it expresses a confidence that God can do something in prayer, but also that God is strong, but also a humility that God's ways are higher, and we might be a little bit nearsighted in what we're asking for. We don't just tell God what to do. We can boldly ask God some things. We can say, God, I know you can do it, and I hope you will. Confidence and humility, recognizing that God is strong and that God cares about what we're going through. Jesus was talking to his disciples one time, and he blew their minds by telling him something that they just were struggling with. He said that it's hard for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. And this really just threw them off. And they asked this question, who then can be saved? And so in the context of that, let's look at how Jesus answers in Matthew 19:26. Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. We're talking about who can be saved. We're talking about salvation, God coming to help. Like with just us, it is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. One of the things that prayer is it's trying to tap into the possibilities with God. With God, nothing is impossible. With God, every chain is breakable. With God, there's always a chance for salvation. With God, all bets are off. With God just changes everything. It's tapping into the possibilities of the God of the possible. Jesus gave us some really great teaching that I want to look at for a moment in Mark 11:22-24. And he says this, have faith in God. Jesus answered, truly, I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And I think a lot of us, when we look at this, again, we see that caution. Like, we can't take this literally. A mountain has never thrown itself into a sea. And are you saying I don't have answers just because I didn't have faith and believe it? And again, it does get, this can really get misconstrued. In America, we've had different movements, sometimes called prosperity gospel, name it, claim it, word of faith. And I had one friend who drugged me to a word of faith church because, you know, they thought, you know, the churches I was were no good because we didn't believe God like they did. But at this word of faith church that I went to, Again, I thought it was a real distortion because the pastor kept screaming about money. I don't know why he said it like that, but it got everybody real excited. Who wants money? And the teaching was that God doesn't want anybody to ever be poor. God doesn't want anybody to ever get sick. God doesn't want anybody to ever struggle. So if you ever are sick or ever are broke, or don't have enough money, it's because God wants to bless you with this abundance that's in material blessings and physical, because you shouldn't even feel sick. If you have a headache, pray it away, because that's not God's will. And, you know, we could talk a lot about that. But I just remember thinking and seeing people get upset because they believe the pastor had some sort of connection with God when the scripture tells us we've got one high priest, and that's Jesus. Not a man of God. They called him the man of God. But when the man of God would teach and he would throw out into the congregation, and he wasn't throwing anything, he was just taking his hand, and he'd say, who wants golf clubs? People raise, oh, here you go. Who wants a sports car? Here you go. Anybody want a Ferrari today? This will mean nothing. Who wants, again, money? In the crowd, everybody wanted money. Lots of fat bank accounts. And so we can see such perversions, and I'll just observe an honest observation. I noticed while the pastor, the man of God, had a pretty nice lifestyle, didn't seem to trickle down to my friend, who was asked to give lots of his money. But anyway, So I think a lot of us can be allergic to this because we've seen it perverted and misused for some material reason or selfish or indulgent sort of a misuse. But just because this thing is misused doesn't mean that we should ignore it either. Just because we see people boldly come and manipulate, try to manipulate God, doesn't mean that we shouldn't come with faith and wrestle with what Jesus means about when he says, does not doubt in their heart, but believes what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Because that there is a challenge for some boldness. According to Jesus, again, God does, can answer prayer. And the prayer offered in faith can make the sick person well. It doesn't mean if there's prayer and a sick person doesn't get well, that prayer wasn't really in faith, like can be perverted. But it does mean there can be power, that God is the God of the possible. Scripture also, the Hebrew scriptures tells us about this story where Joshua, the successor to Moses, was leading the people into the promised land. And one of the things that they needed to do was they needed to go and fight against Jericho. And the people were told to circle Jericho. So for 6 days, they circled Jericho. And then on the seventh day, they circled Jericho seven times. And after the seventh circling, they sounded the horns and the walls fell down. I think there's a message in there. And as we kind of wrestle with what that means, I want to look at just one more teaching that Jesus gave us in Luke 18, 2 through 8. Jesus tells this parable. In a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And I want to pause here to say, Jesus is not saying this is God. This is a parable, not saying that God is like this judge, but it's there's a different reason he's trying to picture somebody who's hard-hearted and unwilling. So he goes on, and there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with this plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time, he refused. But finally, he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? It's a strategy that some people have. Sometimes kids have this one. I'm not going to name any names, but sometimes kids, you know, wear their parents down, right? Dad, mom, can I? And us human parents are not God. Jesus even called us human parents evil. Like, we're misguided. We do things wrong. But our Heavenly Father isn't. And as one of the sayings go, prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance. It's laying hold of his willingness. But there's something about just keep coming to him that God wants. Do you know why Jesus told that parable? Well, Luke explains it to us in the preceding verse. Luke says that the reason why Jesus told this parable was was to show his disciples that they should always pray and not give up. We live in a microwave society, a fast food. We live with high-speed internet. We can scroll through social media. We have short TikTok videos or YouTube or whatever. Like, so in our society that's so fast, it can be really hard for us to develop much of an attention span. It can be especially easy for us to give up. It's really hard, especially for us in a culture of immediate results, expecting immediate results or knee-jerk reaction or hot takes to really get Jesus, who taught us about seeds and seeds that take time to grow and prayer sometimes that take time to be answered. As we wrestle with it and thinking about it, because, you know, again, we can send a text and immediately get a result. We can do a Google search and immediately get billions of results. But, you know, sometimes I think in prayer, instead of like praying about something. What if we had more of an attitude to pray through something? And to pray about just didn't mean like one little short prayer and expect it to be answered and then get frustrated if it doesn't. But what if instead of just praying about something, we pray through something? Or what if instead of an attitude, I want this prayer to be answered ASAP, as soon as possible, we started maybe praying with a mindset more of as long as it takes. I'm going to pray about this as long as it takes, and God in his perfect timing will answer it when it needs to be answered. Trusting that God is strong and God loves us, and his timing may be a little bit off, but he wants us to learn to persevere, to always pray and not give up. I was born on August 22nd, 1978. The day after me, August 23rd, 1978, someone was born who stole the destiny I wanted. His name was Kobe Bryant. We had the same role model and everything. We both loved Michael Jordan. I wanted to be an NBA star. Kobe got what I wanted. God maybe mixed up our prayer somewhere along the way. God, I prayed for what Kobe had. But Kobe, and we're not going to preach Kobe, but there were some, Kobe did this thing, he called it the Mamba mentality. And as probably, if you can even remember, right before the pandemic really got underway, Kobe Bryant died in a helicopter with his daughter and other people. And so right before the pandemic stole everything, people were talking about Mamba mentality and like being a girl's dad, which is a great thing. But part of what I appreciate about Kobe in our culture is he always, the Mamba mentality is about working hard. And there's some things that he said that I think are a great message that can be applied to our lives and especially applied to our prayer lives. And it really fits with what we're talking about, prayer. He said this, a couple things like this. Great things come from hard work and perseverance and no excuses. And this, never get bored with the basics. Now that's good because we think, I could say Kobe was 6'7" and talented and I was, but Kobe worked hard. And that's one of the messages. The way that we could say it with prayer is pray like it depends on God and work like it depends on you. I think that is that humble and confident sort of prayer, knowing that God wants to use us and do something in us. When we do that, pray like it depends on God, work like it depends on us, we start to realize that it's always too soon to quit praying. Because we never know when the wall is going to fall. We might be one circle away from that wall falling. Right now, you're probably on the verge of a miracle. And it just might be a prayer or two away. So as Jesus taught us, we want to be people who pray and not give up. Trusting that God loves us and that God is strong. So we're going to take a moment to pray. And then I'm going to take a moment. I'm going to encourage you to maybe pray personally about something that you want to pray about. We use the language Mark Batterson uses, circle maker. If you don't like that, that's fine. But we want to circle something in prayer. We want to pray through something. That's what we're talking about, prayer requests that we want to pray through. We have circle maker booklets available to anyone if they want a copy of it. We also have journals. So if you want to do that, if you want to grab a journal and start like writing some things down. And so the challenge is for the next 21 days to start that of just like, I'm going to pray through this. Again, 21-day challenge. I'm going to be praying through this, where it's consistent and with faith. So let's pray. Sovereign God, you who are strong and mighty to save, we come to you in the name of Jesus who conquered the grave. May you save us from death. Save us from sin. Save us from trouble. May you deliver us from evil. May you deliver us from our fears. Fill us with the Holy Spirit, who is greater than the spirit of the world. Help us to be people who always pray and not give up. Fill us with enough faith to not fail, but to keep praying as long as it takes. And now let's have a few moments of quiet to just pray. And may we know that it's not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit, says the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask our prayer team to come, or our worship team to come forward and get ready to do our next song, to think about what it means to trust in Jesus, to trust in God and not in ourselves, to rely on God. I'll tell you, this circle maker came at just the right time. And one of the things that I've been doing for a few weeks has been circling some things in prayer. And I've been circling prayers for me. I've been circling prayers for my family. I've been circling prayers for some of you. I've been circling prayers for the church, praying that the Lord is going to use us to draw all people to himself, that God is going to use us for people to come to Christ and experience healing, for people to be baptized, for God to use us and use this, for us to bless all the families of Indianapolis and beyond, that God is going to do some things among us, to have vision beyond our resources, and to God to do just something unique and powerful. And so before we do this song, the circle maker raised his hands. So if you're comfortable with this, I just want to invite you to raise your hands. And this is a blessing. It's sort of a blessing to you, but it's really a blessing to God as well. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be glory in the church and in Jesus, in Christ Jesus, to all generations, forever and ever. Amen.